May 28, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 37.
Ruckus.
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Hey, everybody. It's me, the J-Strom, here in the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Episode 37 of Nowhere in Mulberry. And for this episode, I have a very special guest. That's Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot, here to my left. How's it going, Steven?
It's going great. How about you?
You notice at the top of the show, I try to talk as fast as I can without stopping. What do you think about that?
As long as you don't use that announcer voice of yours.
Hey, Steven, what radio station are you listening to? No, I apologize for that. Let's just calm down a second. We have some bad news. Bill is not with us. Again, I don't know where Bill is. We've actually called the police and put out an APB. They're looking for him here in Mulberry. That's not related to us doing the show. I think he's wanted for things. Like, I think he's one of those guys that drives into liquor stores and steals cartons of cigarettes. Then he sells that in the back of a truck and buys DVDs and stuff with it. Yeah,
Wait a second. He doesn't buy it. It's the illegal downloads.
That's what it is. It's the RIAA are looking after Bill. So everyone keep an eye out for Bill. We'll try to form some kind of underground thing to hide him out so he doesn't go to jail for a very long time. What do you guys think about that? We also don't have Vanessa with us, Steven. I know, we're trying to call her on the phone, we're trying to get her on her computer, we've left voicemail, we've sent stamp snail mail looking for her, and I'm thinking almost like a getaway thing with her and Bill. There's some kind of, like,
wait
Steve McQueen.
Are they together?
Oh, I don't think so. I think they would love that, wouldn't they? Exactly. But I don't know. Maybe they'll show up sometime during the show. Maybe they won't. We'll see what happens. But you know what? This isn't a time to celebrate anyway, Stephen, because today someone very special in my heart has died. And we even played a little clip at the top of the show in memorandum of him. Is that a word? In
memorial.
In memoriam? That's a good one, too. I think that's it. But Paul Gleason, may he rest in peace. If you don't know who he is, maybe this will remind you of who he is.
The next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
That's right.
That's
right. Principal Richard Vernon.
I'm a little disappointed in you, Dick.
That's right. Dick Vernon from the Breakfast Club has passed away. He was also Deputy Chief Dwayne T. Robinson from Die Hard, one of Bill's favorite movies. Too bad he's not here to talk about what he meant to him.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
That's right. He was a great actor, lots of great movies. One of the last movies he made, though, was kind of disappointing, Stephen. He made Abominable.
Sci-fi movie.
Sci-fi original movie. That might have been what killed him.
My office is right across that
hall. I think
hall.
He inhaled too much
of the
fake snow.
Any monkey business is ill-advised.
Yeah, it's possible. I saw a couple of clips of Abominable, and, you know, not to get off subject here, Paul Gleason, may you rest in peace, but what a great movie that was, am I right?
I'm going to have to give it a shot.
Check it out. You know, one thing I want everyone to know here is Steven and I are actually working on a original sci-fi movie as we speak. We're both writing the script together. We actually have, what would you say, just a kind of crazy working relationship where you'll write 10 pages, I'll write 10 pages, and we go back and forth. And I don't know, I'm kind of excited over this. Should we talk about...
And I think you owe me 10 pages.
Yeah, we're just done. We're talking to the sci-fi people, and just based on our spec script, Steven, the budget has been raised from $25,000 to $30,000.
Sweet.
So we're going to have a pretty awesome movie here.
I mean, you're talking, what's that, $100 a page, or $1,000 a page so far?
Yeah, even if this thing doesn't get ratings, we still have made enough money where I'm going to buy, like, one of those Toyota Scions or something.
Sweet.
Out of this cash, you know? Those things look cool, kind of like a space shuttle or something, like I got nothing. But anyway, should we go ahead and say what the title of this movie is?
Go ahead.
Okay, let's pretend like you, the audience, you're the sci-fi execs, and this is what we did. Let's take the two most terrifying things in the world and put them together. That's right. Squids and being attacked on land, right?
Right.
It didn't make any sense to me either, but they bought it. They were like, ooh, what's this? That's right. We are writing a movie called Land Squid. Picture a scary squid that sprays ink, but in our movie, the ink actually is like acid. It melts you and you skeletons everywhere, but it walks on its legs kind of like, you know, a spider.
Got the big pointy head.
Yeah, it's got the beak thing going on. It's Land Squid. And we're trying to lock up Dean Cain right now because I think he'd be perfect for that, but Steven's kind of upset about that. He wanted...
Oh, shit. What? I almost spit.
We've got Dean Cain, and I've tried to get Tracy Scoggins. I don't know if you remember
her.
I
love Tracy Scoggins.
She's great. She's great in those kind of movies. But, Steven, you're trying to get who as the...
Antonio Sabato Jr.?
Yeah, I think he might be busy on another sci-fi movie, which is kind of funny. It's like, no way! He's locked up? Damn! But we do have...
I figured he was on retainer for sci-fi, so he would be our best choice.
Right. Well, I'm trying to get the guy who played Murdoch on A-Team to be the president in our thing.
Nice.
And I don't even remember his name. That's why I can't get a hold of his agent. His name is Dwight something.
Yeah.
Dwight Schultz as Howling Mad Murdoch. Hell yes. So I'd like to get him in that. But you guys be on the lookout for Land Squid coming to an all-new sci-fi original Saturday. And you will know who created this. We're still trying to get Clint Howard, too. But he's kind of a little shaky. He doesn't take as many parts as you think. He only takes, like, six shitty roles a year. And I think he's already done, like,
six. And then
he
does one cameo for his brother every other year.
Right. So let's hope we get him. I think he was in the Da Vinci Code recently. So anyway, moving on after that... Still no word from Bill and Vanessa, but we've still got other things going on. Another thing is we got a voicemail here. Let's check it out, Steven. What do you say?
Go for it. Let's check it out.
Hello, Mulberry guys. Yep, it's me.
It's my favorite, Eugene.
And your buddy.
It's Eugene.
And I have a list of things I'd like to go over.
Oh, dear.
So just bear with me. As far as sounding like Mo, okay, yeah, maybe a little. But
I knew he listened to every show.
I got a throat issue, so, you know, go to hell, Bill.
What is it? Throat issue?
He's got
all
throat
right,
issues,
listen.
So.
I heard on the...
what's he been swallowing?
Well, Firefly podcast, the Serenity podcast, you know, the signal, that they're starting Operation Sequel. People getting together,
Operation Sequel,
making factions, joining together to
fight. Is this gonna work?
I think he's had too many joke holes.
The
that's
wonderful
what that's...
Serenity film.
Right, he's probably been yelling too much at people.
Will happen. So we need your votes. Go listen.
You're
to
not getting my vote.
Join up the brown coat.
I'm not listening to
okay.
that. No, thank
Message
you.
Message number two. What is your problem with the Star Wars? George Lucas is a great man. If it wasn't for George Lucas, we wouldn't have Firefly, because it would have never happened. Okay? Look, be happy you're getting those DVDs, damn it! Be happy! Oh, there's nothing wrong with the new score. The yub yub, oola yub yub, go de go pati chi, a book tuck dick, that's crap! Stop! I'm so
he knows
glad it's
that's
gone.
Genius.
Why do you want it again? They fixed it. And young Anakin at the end was awesome. We knew him. We didn't know that old guy. Who the hell was he? Anyways, okay. So Star Wars, you know what I think you guys are?
What?
I think you're what, Star Eugene? Wars haters. Damn you, Star Wars haters!
What are you talking about?
You're Greedos is what you are, and I'm going to shoot you first. Greedos. Damn you, Greedos! All right. Enough of that crap. Listen, were you guys aware that there was a polar shift?
Huh?
Yeah, I just, I read about it and saw something on TV.
What channel would that be?
Because the government's keeping it hush-hush.
What the hell is he talking about? A polar shift, okay.
Your toilet bowl water might start going down the other way.
The polar ice caps have melted.
Vanessa, why don't you respond to my emails?
gee, I wonder why. Oh my god, he's gone postal! No, thank you, Eugene. As always, your comments are always welcome. Maybe. I don't know.
But as long as you don't shoot first. We're not Greedos.
First of all, I'm not a Star Wars hater, sir. The original theatrical versions are the original Star Wars. It is Star Wars. The new issues that have all the CGI stuff going on, and that's not the original Star Wars that I saw as a child. So, I am not if you're saying, am I the new editions of Star Wars hater? Yes. Yes, I am. So, I have nothing more to say after that.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with that one, the first one. I saw that in the theaters.
Right. And I don't know what he's talking about Serenity 2 and this Operation sequel. I mean,
are they trying to get all the brown coats to give money to make a sequel?
I don't know. You know, more power to you. Hey, if the movie comes out, I'll go see it. But I think it's time to move on. But anyway, after that, let's check out entertainment, Steven. Ah, yes, the juggernaut. But anyway, Steven, a new movie's coming out soon. First of all...
Come on, I love the juggernaut.
Do you want to hear that again, Steven?
One more time.
Do you not know who I am? He must not know who I am. I'm the juggernaut, bitch. I'm going to hit you with your own pimp.
He's going to hit you with your own pimp. That's right. Now, Steven, have you seen The Da Vinci Code yet? Very controversial movie that once it came out, notice the controversy has gone away because people saw the movie and decided, hey, maybe this isn't worth getting so upset about.
Guess what? It's a fictional story.
It's a movie with the guy from Bosom Buddies, all right?
With bad hair.
Yeah, really bad hair. X-Men The Last Stand came out this weekend, and apparently it's gotten huge box office. I'm from the school of popcorn flick, but nowhere near the first two. I mean, it's still entertaining. Wasn't outright horrible as bad as, you know, you can do worse.
Wasn't like a U-Bowl movie?
No, not at all. You could do worse, and it was entertaining. A new movie's coming out, Steven, that may be hilarious, but I don't know. I'll just let you be the judge. It's starring Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. It's your demographic, right, Steven? You like the romantic flicks?
Nah,
me neither, really. But Vince Vaughn is always kind of funny.
I like comedies, like, but, you know, the romantic comedy. No.
Right, right. Like that movie with Jennifer Aniston and Ben Stiller. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's dreadful, but
Long King Polly.
See, but Vince Vaughn, he brings something though. I thought when I saw the commercials when Dodgeball first came out, I was like, "What the hell?" But it's actually an entertaining movie.
Yeah, I liked it.
Let's check out the trailer to The Breakup.
Gary?
Yeah?
You got 3 lemons.
Okay, well, what my baby wants, my baby gets.
No, but I wanted 12. Baby wanted 12.
Why do you want 12?
Because I'm making a 12 lemon centerpiece.
So no one's even going to eat the lemons? You're suggesting to me that these are just show lemons?
After 2 years together, Gary and Brooke have reached a critical point in their relationship.
Fine, I'll help you do the dishes.
No, that's not what I want.
You just said that you want me to help you do the dishes.
I want you to want to do the dishes.
Why would I want to do dishes?
I'm done.
What?
What happened?
We just broke up.
You can stay with me. You think I'm going to move out of the place and let her keep it? I don't know. I'm not Columbo.
The only logical thing that I can think of is for her to move out of the condo and then to pay me some sort of a penalty.
What? Excuse me?
This summer, the battle is on.
Don't even get me started, by the way, on your sister.
My sister's been through a lot.
She slept with the entire Arizona Cardinals offensive line.
He was on vacation!
The gloves are off.
What about your brother?
Richard is not gay.
Move yourself. You always live your life. Never thinking of the future.
The lines have been drawn.
Out of my house now.
Got a love. Yes, humor.
I think you're just a little embarrassed that Richard kicked your ass.
Is that how you want to play it? Because I'll play it like Lionel Richie all night long, lady.
And their true feelings are coming out.
One thing is for sure is you're hurt.
I'm excited. I look at it like I'm on mancation.
You need to get somebody really hot. Hi, Mike. I'm going to make Gary jealous. I'm going to be just a few more seconds. So
Steven, are they going to end up together at the end?
I guess so.
And leave it on the field!
Do you mind if we finish the game? We got a real nail biter.
They'll realize they're truly meant for each other.
Tell Gary to call me.
Universal Pictures presents...
I might actually lose him. Go see Mishka, my personal waxer at the spa. Ask her for the Telly Savalas. I love him, baby.
What do you think, Steven?
Vince Vaughn.
Ready to buy tickets in advance?
Jennifer Aniston. The Breakup.
Yeah, I'm there. If they show the Telly Savalas.
Right. What about... Whoa. Where the hell's David Schwimmer, man? Is he making movies?
He's directing, dude.
Oh, okay, yeah. He's moved on to phase two of Hollywood career. I gotcha. But that's the breakup.
He's the next big breakout director, I believe.
Right. It's possible. My sandwich!
What was that ruckus?
All right, Steven, let's check out what's on our TiVos! Listen to that. Oh my god, it's a carjacking! Ah! Jesus! Right in front of the station, Steven. Call the police. So anyway, Steven, let's check out a little... I decided on the show, before we go into TiVo, let's do a little news break. Let's check it out.
Right after the break, we're going to interview Eric Weihenmayer, who climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. But he's gay. He's blind.
Okay, as we head to the break, a look at the 6 o'clock hour. Drug testing IU should have begun in order for them.
But he's gay. He's gay. He's blind.
Play that again, Foggy. Let's listen.
But he's gay. He's blind.
Genius. Now that's a faux pas there. But, Steven, you know,
it's
now...
like a gay guy couldn't climb a mountain.
He's gay and mine. Oh, I can't see. But, Steven, now that a lot of the television season finales have aired, they've got nothing to show on these channels. Fox has got a show called So You Think You Can Dance, which I will never watch. I'm just kind of throwing this out there.
Yeah.
It's one of those shows kind of like American Idol, but it has to do with dancing. And, of course, they do the same formula where they show people trying to dance and they're really horrible and get that out of the way. But I noticed there was this kind of this overconfident guy who seems to think he's a big shot, and I just thought we'd check it out.
I'm the best dancer here. I was watching everyone before, and they're not that good.
I'm a superstar. I'm the next face of America. Whatever I do, everyone wants to be me. Everyone idolizes me. I'm the best. And I just want to let you know that you are seeing the next face and dance superstar. I'm better than Britney Spears, Janet Jackson. You name it, I'm better.
Aren't those
so cold. So you think you can dance? It's so you, I know I can dance.
Wait, he's better than Britney Spears and Janet Jackson, but he's a guy. But you hit on to something interesting, Stephen. Wait, let's check this out. Hold on. Just bear with me for a second, okay?
Hello, Mulberry guys. Yep, it's me, Eugene, again.
Okay, now let's check this out.
I'm the best dancer here. I was watching everyone.
Oh my god, it's Eugene! It's gotta be!
I'm the next face of America. Whatever I do, everyone wants to be me. Everyone idolizes me. I'm the best. And I just want to let you know that you are seeing the next face a dance
Eugene
superstar.
Likes to dance,
I'm better than Spears,
Eugene
Janet Jackson. You name it, I'm better. Because the show's called So You Think You Can Dance? It's So You I Know I Can Dance.
Oh, that's very clever.
Sure was
he's gay.
Yes, exactly. Is he really gay?
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
Oh, he's blind. So Eugene's a blind dancer who's extremely confident in his abilities. So I just thought I'd throw it out there. Check that show out if you dare. Maybe you'll see Eugene on there twirling around like a little Nancy boy or something.
Your little jazz hands.
Yeah, I can see Eugene with his dance hands. That'd be genius.
The guy was gay. Gay.
Now, Steven, The Apprentice last week happened, and this week we got our season finale, but last week is a really... I think it was the best episode of the season because there's only four people left, and two of the people I can't freaking stand, and that's the two women, Allie...
Because they're such great pals.
Yeah.
They can do no wrong together.
We have more integrity than the other people. You know, we're true friends, but they don't see... One thing that a lot of people kind of lose sight of in the show is that there aren't two winners ever. It's one person wins.
Right.
And the only way you can win is to make sure the other person gets fired. So Allie and Roxanne are their own team, and Lee and Sean are the other team. And the task this week was to create new uniforms for a hotel staff.
The Embassy Suites.
The Embassy Suites. Now, the Donald says, you will be judged by the employees themselves. And immediately that clicked in Lee's head. It was like, ding! And Allie's already thinking, okay, I know all about fashion. And I can design some really great things.
So we do have a leg up because we are women and we know about fashion.
I mean, have you ever heard the term overconfidence? And Lee was like telling Sean, he's like, dude, all we got to do is talk to the staff, find out exactly what they want,
find out what
give
they like
it to
and
them.
Dislike about their current uniform.
Yeah, he said, well, everything that they like about their uniforms, whatever they want. And they'll tell you, you know, the women said we want more comfortable material, but we like our uniforms just fine. We want pants, but comfortable pants. And the everyone, you know, like the chefs, they wanted like some vents in the armpits so they could actually cool off there, you know, because they wear those really hot, you know, outfits and stuff. Lee had the right idea, but Allie was kind of delving in minutia here, nitpicking every little thing, and she had some kind of... They each got their own clothing designers to help them.
Right.
And anyway, here's what happened. Damn, that's some nice music there.
Nice scissors and sewing machine action.
I'd like a smaller... You know, Roxanne, I want a smaller cup here.
Let me explain this to you. This will disappear. So your cuff is actually that wide. So this is the seam allowance. Uh-huh. This gets caught in the lining.
I would love for this not to stick out so much. It's too dramatic for me. And I'd love if you could change that for me.
Okay,
that'd be great.
We'll try.
Roxanne, you don't think we should get rid of any of this extra hooking out?
No, I don't have a problem with it.
Is that going to be a hidden zipper?
We'll cut as much as we can.
Make sure it's not going to look like that. Because that I would take apart and put...
This is not done yet. That's what it's going to look like when it's all finished.
Yeah, I really don't like the silver zipper, Sean. You know what? Wait a minute. This wasn't the fabric that you were supposed to use on him. We wanted to use the charmeuse on him, but...
The charmeuse, Steven.
I understood that it was to be able to use this fabric on the two men's.
Mm-mm.
Which we did.
Allie does not have any background in fashion design, so...
Do you think you would have won if you were project manager?
There are certain things that I might have been more vocal about changing if I were prosecutor.
But didn't you speak up? And
that surprises me, Mr. Trump.
I did speak up. I wanted to put the front desk person in pants because the woman we talked to was very adamant about not. She did not like the pants.
That's interesting that she said that because Roxanne never brought that up to me. And when we spoke with the front desk person, they complained about the poochiness nature of the pants and skirt. So we redesigned a skirt that we thought was really up to date with the pleats at the bottom. We thought we could do more with that.
Who was in charge of design?
We were both in charge of design, and I have to tell
nothing is her responsibility. No, we both were. Stephen, we are both in charge. Right here. Anything goes wrong, it's both our faults.
I would say it's 50-50.
If one of our listeners is electrocuted on accident listening to our show, it's your fault.
It's 50-50.
Okay, that's fine, but it's...
I stepped out of the room for a second.
No, I do not remember that, Mr. Trump.
That is true.
She didn't accept that. We talked about should she be in skirt or should she be in pants. Any discussion we've had up until this conversation with y'all has been that it really was 50-50. Although
I haven't 50-50, but you're the project manager. It doesn't always have to be 50-50.
Of course not. Then it's great being friends. You can have a lot of benefit from that. The problem is you have to establish some authority. Otherwise, the friendship overrides all else. The thing is, we really saw eye to eye on everything. I would say that probably 50% of the design came from Roxanne and 50% came from me.
Roxanne, do you agree with that?
To an extent. I do think ultimately most of the vision for the uniforms was Allie's vision.
So wouldn't you say I should fire Allie as opposed to you?
Ideally, I would like you to keep us both.
I'm not going to keep you both.
Well, I would have to say you should fire Allie. I think I'm a stronger competitor than Allie.
You don't have much conviction in anything you say. You keep saying, I think I'm better. Are you better? Or
I
you
am
not?
Better than Allie because I'm a great mix between instinct and education.
That's very generic.
No,
that's very generic.
I have
now, Stephen, I'm a
I'm young,
smart
but I'm
guy.
Capable. I have
that's
a lot of energy.
Lots of things going for me. I'm a real go-getter.
I'm from Baylor.
I go out there and go get things.
Baylor, and I went
you
on
go
the
get
law
the mail. You go get.
Well, my wife sends me the story. I usually get exactly what's on her list.
Not only that, but I think I would bring a lot of energy to the Trump organization, and I have integrity.
Have you ever had to fill a prescription at 2 a.m. in the morning, Stephen?
I don't think she's qualified for this position, and I think I'm perfectly qualified.
I'm more qualified for this.
She's, I'm sure, an amazing attorney. You said before you wanted to hire as counsel. I'd say hire as counsel, hire me as your apprentice. My whole career has been focused on business.
Ooh.
I'm 4.0 in undergrad
well,
in business.
Well, bitch, you number about to go home. Get back with that, bitch.
And then as a financial analyst, I then got my MBA at Harvard Business School. Was it the
sorry, I'll stop that.
My passion is business, and that's all I know. That's all I love. I'm great in strategy, operations, marketing,
I'm horrible
sales,
in the sack.
At Blue Arrow Park. We have a sales task, and that's not my only strength. I'm analytical. I'm operational.
I can
I'm
pick
strategic,
up heavy things sometimes.
I'm a great negotiator. I think that I'm much better qualified for this position.
And I know how to roll
amazing,
my eyes.
But for your purpose,
yeah. That's not rolling her eyes. She's just looking up and to the left, Stephen. I make awesome PB&J sandwiches.
That really with like each other.
Yeah.
But they lose.
That's extra.
Losing is a terrible, terrible thing. And because you lost, you're going at each other like cats and dogs.
Ah,
and
that's
like
very generic, Mr.
And
Trump.
It all has to do with losing. Losing is
whoa.
It's total
Trump dropped
lose,
an F-bomb. Or do you think he even said anything bad there?
You lost and you went at each other. I really am disappointed that both of you walk into this room as close friends and then you start attacking each other. I'm really disappointed. In all of the boardrooms that I've had, I've never seen two people that were closer than you two people. I've never seen it. And then at the end, what do? You attack each other. Unbelievable. Roxanne. Allie.
No.
You're both fired.
Yes.
You're fired.
Dude, I was dancing a jig at this point, but it was so obvious he was going to fire both of them. He can't have three contestants left on the season finale.
He could have,
but who wants to?
Because then you get to fire two at the very end.
Right.
Are we still friends?
Of course.
Oh, bombing!
Where the hell is my chiffon?
Exactly. She should have used chiffon. They would have won. But Lee and Sean are now the finalists, and I think that it's going to be good stuff. See, the worst part of The Apprentice is usually the two people left. You rarely hate them. You like both of them, usually. That's what happened last season, too.
Yeah.
And, which one of them's going to win.
Which one are you picking, Sean or Lee?
I think Lee really, he gambles a lot. And he can go either way. He can either come out really good because he gambles, or he can lose very badly. So Sean, he seems to play it safe. You know, Sean, he has a good chance. He's a charming guy. He speaks in that British accent or whatever, you know?
It's not even that. I thought kind of Lee was the kind of a waffler.
You've not been wooed by his accent?
No. No, I just...
Come on.
No, Lee tends to kind of waffle back and forth.
When they ask him questions, he kind of...
Yeah, I mean, he's not really decisive and stuff. Like, every time I've seen him in the boardroom, you know, he's kind of the mousy kind of guy.
Yeah, but he does have good ideas sometimes, you know. And he, remember that Piazza thing? If he would have just done that bulk sale, I think they would have won. He's willing to take gambles. But you might be right. Sean might win. I mean, he's the most likable guy. I don't think he's made any enemies except for Roxanne and Allie. And that.
But he's a lot more vocal. He's more decisive, and his decision, you know, decisive works together.
Exactly. Okay. Well, hopefully your pick is Sean. I'm saying Lee, and we'll make a little wager out of it. I got. $2 right here. What do you think, Steven? You want to match that?
I think you've been making me a PB&J sandwich.
No, I don't make them as well as Allie does. But so we'll get it to 24, and who knows what will happen on The Apprentice. All right, let's go ahead and get into that. What the hell? Dude, is that the red phone?
Answer that one, yeah.
It's a red phone. Wait, Foggy, get that. One, two, three. All right, hello?
Hello?
Bill, is that you, Bill?
Yeah, it's me.
Mulberry Bill, hey, buddy, we've been really worried about you. Where you been?
I'm on the run, man.
You're on the run?
I'm on the run.
Well, I didn't recognize the phone number.
Well, what are you on the run from?
The man.
The man? You're on the run from the man, okay.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Why?
I can't really see their face. It's dark.
No. No. What? Oh man, dude. Whoa. Okay. Why are you on the run from the man? What happened?
Somebody found out my internet address, and they got a hold of it, and now they want me for illegal downloads. Pornography, I think.
I told you not to download that over the hedge. It just, there's no way it could have gone online that fast.
It was so very funny, I couldn't help it.
It was entertaining. That Jeffrey Katzenberg, he knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
Shoot, yeah. And you got the guys from The Apprentice who were on there.
So basically...
I can't resist anything from DreamWorks.
It's a great studio. What can we say? So, now where are you hiding out at?
Can't really mention its location. It's treed, so no one can see me from any direction for at least 1 mile.
Oh, that's good.
Well, the caller ID did say out of area, so... Yeah.
Are you on, like, a satellite phone or something?
Yes, in a way. It's yes. I'll go along with that. That sounds good.
Oh, yes, he's not giving up too many clues of where he's at. Phone.
Are you on a telephone pole right now and you tapped into it? Is that what's going on here?
He's climbed a pole. He's got one of those...
Yes, I have this beautiful orange phone with numbers on the back of it, and I've climbed the pole.
That's pretty smart, though. It's untraceable.
So, see there, kids, well, one day, if you do the illegal download, you'll be on a pole one day calling your friends.
Now, how are you going to ever go home back to your library? What are you going to do?
Well, I think I'm just going to wait for them to leave.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll go back.
Yeah, they do tend to lose interest after they can't find the guy for a couple of days.
They'll take his computers and confiscate everything, and then they'll lose interest.
Well, I'll black out my windows.
Right. Now, Vanessa's missing, too, and we were wondering if she was with you, but that doesn't seem to be the case, right?
No, she's not with me, but I could use female companionship for her.
Right. Good Lord, bye.
She's on the lamb.
You're on the lamb. Hopefully you have some kind of sustenance. You brought some food with you, some drink.
Yes, I've got Cheetos.
Oh, that's good.
good Cheeto is the fried corn covered in cheese. It really, you know, pumps up the energy.
Sweet.
And it raises your carbs. So I actually feel like cattle eating corn.
Do you have some Jolt Cola also?
Balls.
Oh, balls.
Yeah, so, B-A-W-L-S, actually.
That's good. So
not actual balls.
I
have balls. I'm just not with anyone with balls. I have my own balls.
Okay. I think you're clear on that.
Everyone idolizes me. I'm the best.
Do what? Now, Bill, you know, we're kind of into the show now. We've already talked about The Apprentice. Did you get to see 24, the season finale?
Just as I ran off, I caught the ass end of it.
Oh, well, that's good. Now, the thing about our 24 segment is now we have a sponsor. It's sponsored by...
I have something else, too.
That's right. I love...
You know, it's Jack Fowler and the Chinese people.
You gotta love Calorie Mate. Now let's go ahead and get into some 24 and see how this bit goes through. Now, Bill, this was the 2-hour season finale of 24, right, Steven? It was 2-hour extravaganza. Now, last week on the show, we had to call Vanessa on the phone, so I just want to apologize right now to our listeners that somehow this has become a regular bit where we call the co-hosts on the phone. I don't know how that's happened. But right now, Bill, tell me what you thought of the 2-hour season finale of 24.
As we covered earlier in prior episodes, I should say, I felt that they dragged it out a little much, and this 2-hour finale was just a culmination of the mess that they created by dragging it out. It was the first hour was okay.
Yeah, that's where
second hour was a little hit and miss, but overall it was, you know, an okay 24 finale. It wasn't the best one they've had, but it was okay.
It had its moments. Like, first of all, let's check out this clip where Jack and RoboCop raid the sub.
You ready?
Yeah.
Take out the guard. Let's go.
Whoa!
Target's down. We're going in.
Nice percussion there.
That drum line.
Those missile hatches just opened.
I see them. What does that mean in terms of our time frame?
Now, Bill, you do have to agree if this is 24, some of the best music on TV for a TV show, don't you think?
Well, for dramatic effect, yes, other than Alias.
Right.
Michael Giacchino, or however the hell his name was.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's still the best TV.
The best music on TV is Alias and Lost. The music to Lost just makes that show. It really does. Steven, why did you pick the crunchiest food possible to eat on the show? No, what were you saying, Bill?
24s is really good. They don't rely on the typical, you know, let's get artsy about it. They just start going...
Right. Right, like the bug music. That's 24. So I'm going to say some...
The bugs, they're all over me.
My favorite music is 24 and Lost. Those are just outstanding shows. Now, on 24, they raid the sub, and there was a great moment where he has to talk the sailor, who's the only kid left, into killing a guard to let them in the sub, which I thought was great. He's like, you gotta grab him by the hair, pull his head back, and cut his throat. Make sure you cut his vocal cords. And it's just like, I don't think I can do this. He reminded me of Troy in The Final Sacrifice. I thought... Yeah, it was Larry Zonka. But what's great is, of course, they kill Julian Sands, Bierko. They thwart, as they say, the missile launch.
They killed the warlock.
Yeah, they killed the warlock. And I love, there's a great moment, Bill. Do you remember this? Where Peter Weller escapes, or he's trying to escape, and he's got a gun.
He doesn't quite escape.
Yeah, he's on top of the sub, and he's got a gun Jack gave him, and we all know that Jack didn't put bullets in the gun, didn't we? Because he's like, oh, damn, Jack, good move.
So this is the second episode of a finale where someone didn't put bullets in a gun.
Right. I mean, hey, it happens, you know. You're right.
Well, it's convenient.
Yeah, it is convenient. So he kills Peter Weller in a great scene where he says, you killed my friends, you killed the president, whatever. Blows him away, and thankfully he didn't get back up. Now,
he could have really used that RoboCop suit just about then.
The whole bit about 24 is the president is behind everything and they don't want him to get away with it. Am I right? They've got the first lady in on it. And there's a great scene where they need the first lady to delay the president from leaving so Jack can get there, right? And Jack is actually going to steal the presidential helicopter with him on it and kidnap the president. Now, in the scene where she's already told the president, the first lady has, that she hates him. He disgusts her. Then she starts coming on to him like, oh, I was wrong. I hope you can forgive me. And this is a very uncomfortable... Yeah, wasn't that like a really uncomfortable scene where she's basically trying to seduce him? And he's like, I think we have some time. And he starts making out with her. Oh, man, that was so... Oh, that was very uncomfortable. You know,
it's either this president on 24 or he just there's something that we don't want to see, and it involves sex or kissing.
And yeah, and when they're kissing, they played this music, which was weird. It's just weird makeout music, don't you think?
Yes, but it was appropriate.
Well, what was funny about that is they start to make out, and then the episode ends, right? The next episode, the second hour begins, and they've just finished, and this show's in real time, so basically they had sex for about 10 seconds, and then they were done.
Well, yeah, he didn't really even have to pull his pants down.
I guess not.
The president, although he's the most powerful man in the world, he does have a problem, and that's premature ejaculation.
Yeah.
But he has
ED.
But do you know...
When you have a wife that's as hot as Martha...
Right.
Or whatever the hell her name was.
I mean, that happens.
Now, yeah, you gotta let it go.
Another fact about the president is...
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay, excuse me, he's blind.
He's blind.
How do you confuse that?
Jack Bauer thinks he's going to coerce the president into confessing. He steals his helicopter, tasers everybody on board, kidnaps the president, handcuffs him, puts him on camera, and he's getting a live confession from him, which, of course, the president...
Over the internet?
I don't know what it is. Directly to Chloe, and she's going to record it and put it on YouTube.
This is broadcasting worldwide.
Yeah, she's going to put it on YouTube, basically.
It's a video blog.
Excellent.
Right. So what happens is, of course, he's not going to confess. And if Jack forces him to, it'll look like a coerced confession.
Right.
So he says, if you...
I was scratching my head on that one.
So Jack says he's going to shoot him. And, of course, he can't. And he goes, it's okay, son. You can't kill the president. That's very understandable. So Jack gets taken into custody, and the president goes. And he shows up at the funeral for David Palmer. And you see his wife seeing him arrive, and she's like, oh, no, he didn't confess or anything. And so she starts flipping out in this great scene. And the president's like, excuse me, I need to talk to my wife. Takes her in the other room, slaps her, starts roughing her up, saying that I'll pump you so full of drugs you won't even know your own name. I'll lock you away in an institution.
You're lousy in the sack.
Yeah, you're lousy in the sack. Ooh! And, you know, he confesses everything. You know, yeah, sure, I killed David Palmer and blah, blah, blah. And sure, I did this, but no one's going to catch me, blah, blah, blah. And then he walks out, and she's all scared. But it turns out that Jack put an old bug in his ballpoint pen, and they got all of that on digital recording.
Sweet.
Convenient.
So Chloe makes it into a podcast and puts it on iTunes, and that sucker gets lots of downloads, even more than Keith and the Girl.
awesome.
Or MuggleCast.
You know that's tough to match.
Yeah. It's hard to beat MuggleCast, right?
Because who doesn't want to hear about a Harry Potter subject every week?
Yeah. So basically, the president is busted and everything's happy. And it's been a great year, you guys. A great season of 24. Jack gets reunited with Audrey. They're going to make out. And some guy comes up and he goes, "Excuse me, Mr. Bauer, your daughter's on the phone, but it's in that dilapidated building right now. Sure, we've been able to patch airplanes into your cell phone. We've been able to call everywhere in the world, including you being hiding in vents. And
you can make a cell phone call from a submarine underwater.
But
transmitting video.
Yeah, but screw that. You know, I'm sure you can detonate bombs on terrorists with your cell phone, but will you please go get the phone in that dilapidated building? Sure, I'll be right back." And, of course, what happens is Jack is kidnapped.
Oh!
And here's what happens.
Kill me.
You're far too valuable to kill, Mr. Bauer.
So, Jack has been kidnapped by the Chinese.
We'll put you in a snuff film.
I'm just assuming this, but I think they're taking him to Shanghai. Because the boat says Shanghai.
Right, and he's on a tanker in the middle of the ocean heading to Shanghai. So the next season, Bill, you're going to be in Shanghai. So
they abandon all the real-time stuff, because then he would have been from a warehouse to being beaten by long-haired Chinese men with perfect mustaches to being interrogated by a Chinese diplomat in less than, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah. They had a chopper waiting, apparently.
Yeah, in that confusion of releasing him. Now, why were all those people there? Whenever everybody found out about the president or whatever. I mean, there was, like, a whole team there. Was that the SWAT team they sent to bring him in? Or were they just having, like, a party? Hey, man, it's a barbecue!
I have no idea. But that was the 24 cliffhanger that Jack is being taken to China. So the first episode of next season, we'll see how he gets out of it, because they'll be on to new things.
What people don't know, next season is co-starring Jackie Chan and directed by Brett Ratner.
Awesome! I am totally there.
24 Rush Hours, it's going to be called.
24 Rush
what
Hours.
What the hell did you just say?
It's true. I know, I heard that Chris Tucker was very upset about not being included, but it's true.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
All right, stop it. Now, enough with that, Bill. Let's check out the final ever in the history of mankind, Alias.
No.
I thought we'd hear the theme one last time, even though we've never played it on the show.
It's like an upbeat version.
How dare you, sir?
After almost 30 years.
Is it everything you imagined?
Nadia, I'm so glad you're here. If I didn't have someone to share this with, I may have doubted my own eyes.
You're talking to your dead daughter. This is an odd time to question your sanity.
A poltergeist.
So that's it. All this time, that's what you wanted.
This, sweetheart. This is what everybody has always wanted.
A ball filled with Kool-Aid.
It's
sounds like he's an old man with a bad prostate taking a pee.
Don't move.
No, Sydney, don't.
Ha 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 ha! That Arvin, you know, he's getting up there in age.
Sedane, please don't be rash.
Give me one reason why I shouldn't destroy this right now.
Suppose I were to give you two good reasons.
My bad acting and my bad accent.
I won't insult you with pretense, Sidney. We know each other too well for that. Oh, I know you're trying to figure a way out. Just hand over the sphere, and I will let you all walk away.
If I give this to you, what's to guarantee you won't shoot us anyway?
Despite what you may think, I'm not heartless. Come on, take my offer. It appears that Vaughn is back. Go. Be a family.
It appears that plot line went nowhere
frankly,
this season.
I don't
season.
Think you have any other option.
If you want this, we'll walk out of here together, and then we'll talk.
Well, even he had to comment about it.
Yeah, it appears Vaughn's back? What the hell's that about? Oh, no.
Dad.
Awesome! So she basically emptied her clip into Sloan.
I've come too far to let anything get in my way. Then you'll have to go through me first.
Whoa! Threw it through a plate glass window!
Go fight!
Even if you manage to beat me on this rooftop, it's still too late to stop the launch.
You did it. You were right all along.
Bill, did you like the idea of a Nadia Poltergeist visiting Sloane?
Sacrifice. Promise.
Yes, I enjoyed that a great amount.
The horizon is gone. Your mother is probably dividing up my spoils as we speak.
Then we should get moving.
This house is clean.
We don't have to hurry anymore, Nadia. We have all the time in the
so
world.
So basically, Arvin is a...
I'm afraid I can't lie.
He can't kill him.
Life
he's immortal.
For whatever it's worth, I truly do love you.
I'm just trying to kill you a million times.
Just listen to the music on the show. It's incredible.
I owe you an apology, Arvin. I never gave your faith in Rambaldi the credit it deserved. There's no need to apologize, Jack. You're a practical man. I always admired that in you. Jack, I didn't want to shoot you. Sidney forced my hand.
Yes. She can be very stubborn at times.
You're dying. I can help you.
Bill, wouldn't you have let him help you then? Did something about it?
You caused
yeah, but that's not Spy Daddy's style.
No, it's not. He doesn't want his help.
I could have prevented it. I won't continue to make that mistake.
I think you've overestimated your position, Jack. You can't hurt me anymore.
True. But I can keep you down here with me.
Huh?
What are you doing?
You beat Death Arvin. She couldn't beat me.
Awesome! Now, apparently, Foggy made a clip of the whole two-hour finale.
Mom. You can make it. Give me your hand.
So that's Zap Rimbaldi, right? Or is that... What was his name? Zap Rousedower.
Rousedower.
Mom, come back.
Is there a deer on the sun?
And she's dead, too. So Sydney's an orphan.
I can't move.
I love this part. Basically, Arvin is immortal, but he's trapped under a giant boulder where he can't move.
They can't teleport through it.
He's just stuck there for eternity.
Unfortunately, I think you'll have to spend it here.
Well, at least you're here with me. No. No, no. No. No, Nadia, don't leave me here. No, Nadia. No!
So I was waiting for him to go, drats, spoiled again.
So, Bill, what did you think about the series finale of Alias?
Well, it ended the only possible way it could when given only 17 episodes. Fuck you very much, ABC.
Now, it could have been better, of course, and I think the season would have... I mean, originally they thought they were going to have 22 episodes, so they had to rush some storylines like the Tom Grace storyline that really shouldn't even been in the show anymore once they had like 4 episodes left to go. But
that really kind of wasted it wasted precious time. It could have been used with Sloane's monologuing.
Right. He always gives good monologue. Did well to use all of the characters, to include everyone, to give them something to do in the finale.
Especially Zap.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Zap Rimbaldi.
Back, what was her name? Was it Claire? The girl that Marshall married at like the end of season 2 or something?
Right. They even brought her back. We had some nice comedic moments with Marshall. We had Rachel Gibson, we had Tom Grace saving everyone and then blowing up, him dying. You know, he went out the same way.
That was a pretty good death.
Yeah, Jack blew up and so did Tom, so that's the way they kill good guys on this show, is they blow them up. Alias is gone forever, what can you say? I mean, I wasn't happy about it. The finale was okay.
Why did they end it, just because Jennifer Garner was leaving?
I don't think ABC ever gave the show much...
Yeah, after the second season, they were lucky that they... got a third, a fourth, and a shit version of a fifth.
Right. So, Alias is gone forever. Bye, Alias. It's a bummer.
I guess I'll just have to watch Mother-in-Law to get my Wanda. A Monster-in-Law.
Right. That was a great movie.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Bill, before we move on, we're dedicating this show to Paul Gleason. You know who that is, right?
Who died far too early.
Deputy Chief Dwayne T.
Be remembered.
Right. Deputy Chief Dwayne T. Robinson, Principal mm-hmm. Richard Vernon from Breakfast Club, and
the next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
I thought he was an excellent character actor. I especially loved his turn in Trading Spaces when he got cornholed by a gorilla.
Oh, yeah, that was genius.
Yeah, forgot about that.
He was just classic, the way he, you know, and I loved how he reprised the Principal Vernon thing in that horrible Not Another Teen movie.
Oh, Jesus.
He could make fun of himself, and it was just, he was great.
You know what else was dedicated to Paul Gleason was the season finale of Lost. Or it should have been.
Those bastards.
Now, Bill, would you like to hear a Lost clip that encapsulates the whole 2-hour finale? It's shorter than the Alias one, trust me.
Okay, go ahead.
See anything?
No.
Whoa, whoa!
This is all there is left. This ocean and this place here. We are stuck in a bloody snow globe.
My theory was right, Stephen. Ha!
That is where they
were. You said they were in a snow globe.
While Mike leads you by land, I can approach far more quickly by sea. And I can go ashore undetected.
Go ashore and do what?
Scout them.
Are you sure about this, brother?
I'm more sure about this than anything in my entire life.
He's dead. We have to find the other one.
No! I know what you're doing, Michael! Now tell them the truth!
That's the only way.
We're all gonna get killed, and you knew it. And you let us come anyway.
It's too late for that.
We already called a bomb on us once. If they don't believe that we trust Michael, they'll kill us all! But you have to know that I would never bring you out here if I didn't have a plan.
What plan?
That's the rock Michael described. They hear.
Bollocks.
What are they?
Oh, 400 SR Moose ping pong table again.
Hey, Doc. What'd you say Saeed's signal's gonna be when the coast was clear to hit that beach party?
Sawyer!
When did you come here? How long ago?
September 22nd.
I think I crashed your plane.
That was the first episode of Nowhere in Mulberry was released. Oh my god! We caused a plane to crash.
It's a lie! It's not real! Wait! Desmond!
I see you in another life, brother!
System failure. System failure.
Oh dear.
Yes! I was wrong.
That's a great moment. He says I was wrong.
I love you, Penny.
Oh, my ears! Foggy.
Sounds like an airplane crashing.
That's what I thought.
And all is calm again.
I thought it was too bad.
Oh, and then the door lands up.
Yeah, I can drive a boat.
Good. Then you're going to take this boat and follow a compass bearing of 325.
Henry was channeling Kevin Spacey in the scene.
You and your son will find rescue.
Yeah!
Hugo, you can go back to your camp.
I don't like that lady.
Your job is to tell the rest of your people
Miss Clue
never come here.
Or
B? We don't have the food to feed you, Hugo.
Was her name D? Now this is a real mind screw right here.
Cala a boca, chama ajuda.
I think we found it.
They're speaking Wookiee.
Esperanto.
Now, I wasn't expecting a lot from the Lost finale. I thought it would be okay, but I was riveted through the whole thing, and I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, it got me excited. Which
more so than a lot of the episodes for me.
It was the opposite of the finale last season, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I had like a giddy excitement over it. I thought the Desmond storyline was great. I mean, I fell in love with this character. I thought it was a great character.
They had obviously been saving that one for the last episode, and they just had it written perfectly. I was just absolutely riveted through the entire thing. And kudos to the Lost crew for coming up with something that actually left us wanting more the way a good season finale should.
The bit with that Clancy Brown turns out to be Kelvin I thought was great. And I'm so glad. This is why you don't pay attention to spoilers, so something like that surprises you, you know?
Right.
And I thought it was great that he was fixing up his boat, and he was pretty much getting ready to leave.
He was going to screw
Desmond over. And it looks like that's what that job consisted of, is suckering somebody else into pushing the button so you can leave. I was to the point where I was like Locke, where I didn't think the button did anything. Did you guys think that too?
Yeah, I was totally convinced that the button was the social experiment.
And,
but it looks like the Pearl was the social experiment.
Right, that the messages were just going into a field. Nobody's ever reading them. It was just pointless. And the button basically was very important. And it kind of drove me nuts that Locke smashed the monitor. And I almost thought, maybe you can still... You know, if I smash my monitor, my computer still works and my keyboard, maybe he could have still input the code at that point.
Right.
But you never know. It's an old computer.
It's an old TI-88.
Now, of course, this episode answered a few questions. What brought the plane down? And it raised a few other ones, like what happened when Desmond turned the key?
What was that big pseudo-explosion, big white light?
Yeah, what was that white event that happened where everyone was covering their ears?
Well, what bothered me about it was the others weren't really affected by it. Everybody was like, what was that? What was that? And the others were just kind of like, oh, okay, so now let's get on with this. Michael, go.
Right, maybe...
You can go back. It's like they knew what was happening or what it was.
Maybe, I was thinking maybe Pseudo-Henry, I don't know another name for him, was thinking, I will deal with this. And he goes, let's finish with business, and maybe he's going to figure out what's going on, but I don't know.
You know, we've learned not to believe everything we see so far. I think that this season has really been strong with that. So I don't even believe it. They made it look like Henry, for lack of a better name, is the leader.
Right, and you
so
find
something is telling me that there's someone above him, or more people above him.
Right, and you also find out
he's just acting like
he's the leader of that small group.
Things aren't as they seem.
Yeah, there was a great scene where Mr. Friendly, the guy with the beard, where Kate's like, "I know you're," and he's like, "Excuse me," and she says, Tom, she knows your beard is fake. And he's like, thanks, Kate. This sure is itchy. And he takes it off. And he goes, and thanks for telling him my name, D, or whatever her name. I was either B or D. I can't remember.
Right.
It was great. They showed his name is Tom. They're just regular people. And they look like hillbillies. And I love that. They're just hillbillies, I swear.
Well, it also showed that the camp was fake.
Right.
There was nothing behind the door they were guarding except a block wall.
And that was interesting because...
in any of the huts.
I want to know what they... Is the Dharma Initiative a big joke, is what I want to know. You know, we need to find out who the others are.
Well, is it centered somewhere else, you know, like... Something else is watching that.
Right, and there's that scene, that weird scene where Saeed and Jin and Sun are going around the island and they see a giant foot statue with four toes. What was that about? I just kind of laughed at that, like, thanks a lot, you know.
It's a giant Simpsons.
Yeah, it was like a Planet of the Apes moment.
Yeah, it was like, what is more unsettling, that the rest of the statue's missing or that it has four toes? So naturally, everyone's like, I'm going to Google four-toed statues to see what this is all about. You also
have a theory. There was a pygmy tribe in the southern Pacific that had four toes.
And
they're the Dharma Initiative.
One of my favorite moments is when Sawyer says, I have a theory. They're all aliens. I thought that was great. Some people come up with theories, but they have no explanation. They say, hey, I got a theory. They're all aliens. Yep. Yeah, I explained it. It's like, that explains nothing.
Just kind of wonder if it's like, well, when What's-His-Name said, I'll see you in another world.
I'll see you in another life,
another
brother.
Another life, brother, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it like a parallel universe type thing?
I don't know. You know? I mean, at the very end, that's another thing. They showed the two guys, and they turn out they're Portuguese, what they say. They're speaking Portuguese.
Is that what they were speaking?
Yeah.
I had a whole theory that it was like Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah, it could be. Jacob's Ladder was...
all chemically induced in some dude's mind.
And the guy just needs to move on to heaven, I think, is what it turns out. Eventually,
yeah, it's like Jacob's Ladder.
Well, no, it's like
Jacob's Ladder, you know? It's like Jacob's Ladder. And yeah, I really enjoy their stories.
If Macaulay Culkin shows up, you're right, my friend. Now, what happens is that at the very end, these two guys are in, like, this weather station, or, you know, they're in the snow, and they're in some kind of...
big Arctic weather station. Yeah, that's what I'd call it.
And they detect this magnetic anomaly, and then they call up Penny, who was Desmond's love of his life. He said he'd return in a year, and it's been over 3 years. And they said, we think we found it. Now, what did they find? That's a little cliffhanger. And that was a good mind screw at the end, because this is the first time we've seen something take place that's not in a flashback and not on the island, and it's in the real world right now, which I think is really cool.
Well, as far as we know.
Yeah, as far as we know, but I think that's what it was telling us. This is what's going on.
Right.
And
maybe there'll be a new group of people to come and won't be able to get off the island.
It would be interesting if there are two things going on next season, showing the Losties existing with the others and the mysteries of the island, but people on the outside trying to find this place, like separate characters. Also, we see that Michael gets to leave with Walt. He gives him a heading to follow, and he will be rescued. Let's see what happens with that. Because I think Michael's...
Yeah, that was an answer we got about the Pala Ferry. So obviously that boat was the Pala Ferry. And so the guy to just say, head to, you know, compass number 325, and someone there will pick you up and, you know, send you off or whatever. So obviously people are still there for the Dharma Initiative, as in the orientation film for the Pearl, whenever they said, when you're done with your shift, go to the Dharma, go to the Power Ferry.
You wondered that with Clancy Brown, because he was waiting when Desmond shows up. He was hoping that he was his relief to come and...
Yeah.
You think that maybe no one is paying attention to the Dharma Initiative anymore, but then they still got the food drop. So there's all those issues raised. But this two-hour season finale blew away Alias, and it blew away 24, for as far as I'm concerned. And I didn't think anything could top Veronica Mars finale, but Lost really did it for me. I was more interested in what was going on the hatch than the Kate Sawyer and Jack stuff, but as a whole, I loved the whole Desmond storyline. And
I just love holes in general.
Right. Exactly. I'm excited about what happens on Lost next season. And we've got a long wait ahead of us, but not as long as BSG. So, what's that about? We've got to wait till January for Battlestar Galactica? That ended a while back. And
well, you got to get Caprica out first.
Yeah, why are they screwing us, Bill?
If they wouldn't...
I think Ron Moore is biting off more than he can chew.
It's possible.
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right, well, that was Lost Talk, and we'll see you next year. All right, Bill, so what are you going to do now? You want to stick around for the show, or...
I'm not going to be able to. I think I see a black helicopter heading over the trees.
Oh, my God.
They found me!
I think you've been made. Holy crap, get the hell out of there, Bill!
I got to go. Oh, my God, there's bullets!
Jesus, return fire, return fire!
I don't have anything to return fire with! Wait, I'm working my torso and this
went off. Get in your car and get out of there.
They just blew up my car. It's Tom Cruise in Scientology. I knew it. Steven, you turned on me. I knew it.
Steven, you did use the phone during Lost Talk. I knew it. We've got a mole.
Sorry, Bill.
Sorry.
Before you depart, I have these words of wisdom for you to leave by.
Do you not know who I am? He must not know who I am. I'm the juggernaut, bitch. I'm going to hit you with your own pimp.
thank you. I'll remember those words the next time I'm in a fight with X-Men.
All right, Bill. Have a good one.
You guys, too. I'll be back next week.
Much love.
Talk to you later,
much
Bill.
Much love.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
Peace. Much love, peace out, please don't kill me, Scientology.
Alright, Steven, what do you say? Let's do the news. What do you say?
Everyone idolizes me. I'm the best.
But he's gay.
Yes, he is. All right, Steven, the news. we don't have Vanessa here. Bill is on the run.
Bill's being chased by the black helicopter.
I know that, I've got episode one. Remember you read a news
story? No.
Come on, no. Steven, we have some Steven no. news.
I'll kill you.
come on.
Everyone's heard it.
All right, Steven.
Okay, let's see what else we have here in the news today.
Listen to that sound quality.
Oh, struggling. Rescue helicopter has crashed.
Okay, somebody's signing in MSN.
Back to the New Orleans stuff. It's a, wow. Looks like a Coast Guard.
All right, Steven. So, okay, it's basically... Yeah, okay, you're not going to read the news, and I'm not going to read the news.
Throw me under a bus. Why don't you? Not being used to my ability.
Exactly.
What is my ability?
So we have we have a news segment with no one to read news. But we got a voicemail from Ron, and let's play that. That'll be our news segment. What do you say?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Let's try it.
Hey, Jason. It is the Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Vanessa normally does a wonderful job of reporting the news, but she missed out on one very important news item that I think I should make your listeners aware of that occurred down here on Hollywood Boulevard here in Los Angeles, right here in front of Hollywood and Highland. Now, maybe as your co-host Steve might be aware of, since he travels a lot, many people dress up in various costumes in front of Hollywood
and
Highland,
that,
which is like a shopping center / mall / entertainment center right on Hollywood Boulevard, and they dress up in various costumes such as Nightcrawler, Homer Simpson, whatever else is available, and they take pictures with tourists.
Yes,
and basically
I do.
Get money for it. As a matter of fact, just the other day, as this story reads, it was a nightmare on Hollywood Boulevard. A homeless man was allegedly stabbed by a man dressed as horror movie character Freddy Krueger.
Nice.
Right there's a paragraph worth money. A homeless man stabbed by Freddy Krueger. A Greek entertainer dressed as a Nightmare on Elm Street character was arrested Saturday, which was the 21st, the 20th. The street entertainer dressed as the Nightmare on Elm Street character was arrested Saturday for allegedly stabbing a man with his knife-like fingernails in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater. The
Get
entertainer was dressed in a full-body Freddy Krueger costume, only in L.A., including a glove with fingers made of scissor blades, real knives. I think they said between 4 or 5 inch blades, I believe, on the news. The man dressed as Krueger got into an altercation with the intoxicated man walking along Hollywood Boulevard and stabbed him in the chest with his scissor hand with the base of the glove. The Krueger character, who was in his 20s, was not injured, but he was arrested on suspicion with assault with deadly weapon. We thought all the characters on Hollywood Boulevard have props made of plastic, but this guy's hands were made of real metal, according to police officials. Now, here's the follow-up to that, in case you're curious. Here's the headline for the L.A. Times on May 23rd. Freddy Krueger won't face knifing charges. Only in L.A. do we get damn headlines that say that. The man who allegedly stabbed another man with a 6-inch blade attached to the glove of his Freddy Krueger costume remained in jail Monday. I wonder if he was still in costume while in jail.
But that would be fun.
Cut off his piece of deal and feed it to him.
Prosecutors said Monday that they would not file state charges against Joseph Zacher, who was dressed as the Nightmare on Elm Street character, when he wounded a 25-year-old intoxicated man. Is that alcohol always involved in this shit?
Do you think he's like, I got the claws, might as well use them?
See if they work.
Which is the Hollywood and Highland. If for those that don't know, Hollywood and Highland is right next to Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Oh, okay.
Police said Zacher may face misdemeanor charges for carrying an illegal knife. You think? They said Zacher was confronted by the victim and stabbed him during a pushing match. What the hell are you going to get into a pushing match with someone that has scissors on his damn glove or knives on
Maybe
his glove?
Maybe the homeless man thought they were made of plastic, too.
that's your answer. But for those that are unaware, like
well,
I
you
said,
don't have to get
like
snippy.
To in front of Man's Chinese Theater. One year I saw, because I go down there once in a while, one year I saw a guy dressed as Nightcrawler perched on top of a trash can. I snapped a picture of him, but when he actually wanted money for me for snapping the picture, and when I didn't, he actually ran after me.
Oh, my God.
So that was some shit, being chased by Nightcrawler running down the street of Hollywood Boulevard. So just thought you'd be
genius.
In a little news story that was left out of your news last week, so...
I will yell at Vanessa for leaving that up in these last week. Well, thanks for that, Ron. You kind of bailed us out with a news story.
Yeah, I'd heard about characters who actually get in fights with each other over who's a better character out there.
That's
stuff.
Hilarious.
It was made the news when I was out there once. That was pretty funny.
So that's a thing, common thing that goes on there.
Everyone characters thinks who will dress up. And
they think they're the best.
Everyone idolizes me. I'm the best.
It'd be like you have two I Love Lucy's show, you know, Lucy Ricardo's show.
One of them's going,
I do way much better than you. Start fighting.
That's crazy.
And don't jabber at me in a foreign tongue.
No, don't do that. Now, Stephen, I don't know. I guess we should just end the show since we don't know what else to do with the news.
Hold on, Jason, just a second.
Yeah, what? What's going on?
Foggy is handing me a disc. He says it's news from Vanessa.
Dude, what the hell?
Dude, just play the
disc. Is it like a handoff, like an alias or something?
I don't know how he got it, but...
All right, well...
Put that in the old comp there. And
all right, let's check it out. Apparently, this is Vanessa doing the news. Let's check it out.
Well, hello there, Mulberry fans. Sorry I can't be there, but...
What the hell? Is this a...
run from the cops.
She's on the run from the cops, too?
I can't let them find me. The man's trying to keep me down. Oh, God, I can't act worth a crap.
She wishes the man would keep her
Jason
down.
Jason and Steve,
what?
So, here we go. Enjoy.
Oh, dear.
In Australia, in Sydney, as a matter of fact... Australian brothel owners want an exemption to anti-smoking laws for sex workers and their clients because they say one thing leads to another. Yeah. Newspapers reported Sunday that the Australian adult entertainment industry had written to Victoria state officials seeking an exemption to laws which ban smoking in workplaces for fear they will drive prostitutes back onto the street. Oh, no. People smoke when they drink, and people smoke when they fornicate. The industry's group's William Albon was quoted as saying, "Smoking is banned in most public places across Australia and will be outlawed in hotels and other licensed premises in Victoria in July." Albon said the ban would force men, women, and transgender persons who work as prostitutes in the 87 legal brothels onto the streets where they could potentially be targets for violence.
Why is Vanessa talking like this? All right, next story, Vanessa.
Oh, that was really funny, Jason and Steven. Anyway, also in the news, in Blackpool, which for all those that you don't know is in England, a circus strongwoman who rips up telephone directories as part of her
act
lodged an appeal for 500 phone books to ensure her show in Northern England can go on. German-born Sylvia Brumbach, known as the Woman of Steel, says she is about to run out of phone books after destroying over 100 at Blackpool Tower Circus. I just brought 200 over from Germany. That's my accent. You like it? I've used over half of them already, she told the news.
No, we hate it.
Brumbach, who says she can tear a directory in half in around 30 seconds, has placed ads in local newspapers. You have to find the right point to read. The book must not be too old, and the spine must be tough, not wobbly.
All right, stop with the accent.
Insert jokes here.
Okay.
Oh, Stephen, you're such a card. In other news, the next time Dan McBride rents a car, he may want to inspect it, not just for dings and dents, but also for snakes. That's right. The assistant athletic director of Eastern Kentucky University found a 2-foot-long ball python in his rental car this week as he left the Ohio Valley baseball tournament in Paducah. McBride got into his car Wednesday night with a colleague and saw the snake draped across the console. McBride said he thought it was a rubber snake someone put there as a joke, and he even gave that snake a pat on the head. And then
watch out for snakes!
As he drove towards the exit, the snake lifted its head. McBride hit the brakes and started to get out of the car. But the snake was on the gear shift, forcing him to keep his foot on the brake. You can't act tough when you're sitting a foot and a half away from a snake, said his colleague Simon Gray. The snake is captured and is being held until its owner comes to claim it.
Okay.
Oh, poor guy. In other news... Beijing police will be sent back to driving school in readiness for the Olympics, and some will get hotted up cars and racing training, the media has said. By the end of the year, 10,000 police will be given driving safety training, with 1,500 to learn high-speed maneuvers to complement their customized cars. In accordance with Olympic security needs, some police cars will be customized, especially those patrolling areas around the Olympic venues, the Beijing Times quoted as saying. The cars will have anti-rolling capability, racing seats, and other safety systems. Recruitment for racing training would start next month, with police to be tested on their cornering and high-speed skills in a simulated racing environment. Successful recruits will then be taught the art of driving down narrow roads, overtaking and intercepting cars, and high-speed U-turns. Keen to show it can host a world-class event and protect the safety of hundreds of thousands expected to attend, Beijing has already taken a number of measures to boost security.
Earlier, oh my God!
China announced plans to build a 50,000-strong civil security force in addition to the recruitment of 2,000 extra police. The communist country is on alert for domestic sources of unrest that could disrupt the games, from angry petitioners from the countryside to activists seeking independence for Tibet. They just need to teach them how to use their damn turn signals, in my opinion.
Yeah, thanks, Vanessa.
And in other news, and finally my last news story, I'm sure you're singing hallelujah. When a teacher asked a 6-year-old boy to pull a folder out of his Scooby-Doo backpack, a bag filled with 25 smaller bags of marijuana fell out instead. The teacher gave the drugs to a school administrator who called police.
Yeah. It's great.
Really good stuff.
Before arrived at the Hope Community Academy, the boy's father showed up. He took the backpack from his son and quickly walked away. The father was later arrested and told investigators he hid the marijuana in the backpack and left it in a bedroom closet.
When marijuana is not a drug.
Missing, he ran to his
I used to suck dick
school.
For coke.
Corey Randall, 29, was charged Thursday with fifth-degree drug sale charge. So they found drugs in Scooby-Doo backpack. And that's all I've got.
Thanks, Vanessa. Thanks for sending that weird disc of news in.
I don't know how Foggy got it, but maybe she emailed it in and he burned it to
us. Hey, she bailed us out, though. I got to say that much. Yes, thank you, Snoopy.
Snoopy dog.
All right, Steven, on that note, let's just end this train wreck. What do you say?
Want to get hosting for your podcast? Wait, let me rephrase that. Want to get hosting for your podcast without paying a bandwidth bill? Then make the switch to SwitchPod.com. Take a look at SwitchPod's free podcast hosting, free to you and a small ad in your feed. Or you can get a premium ad-free account for as little as $3 a month. You're happy? We're happy. Switch it over and switch it on. SwitchPod.com. Podcast hosting the way it should be.
Alright, Steven, that's episode 37, The Disaster.
In the can.
That's right. It was nice to have Bill on.
But he's gay.
And he wasn't able to do a DVD section.
Right, but he will next week. Like he said, there wasn't a lot of good DVD material.
Yeah, so, I mean, he didn't even bother. I mean, he looked it up and said it wasn't even worth his...
And plus, he's on a freaking telephone pole, and he probably didn't have any information in front of him.
He needs his little cell phone with internet access on it.
But... We also had Vanessa on. She sent us a nice news email. Voicemail thing. I don't know what the hell she was doing. Where the hell is she at?
I don't know.
But hopefully we'll have our show back to normal next week. Now, we'll cover the Apprentice finale, but we got nothing after that. The change. You know, I want to tell everyone that right now, our listeners. We'll do a few experimental things during the summer. You know, we'll have some shows to talk about.
Vanessa's 45s.
Yeah, or movie drops every once
movie
in a while.
Movie drops games.
Maybe we'll... call, crank call people? No, we won't do that.
No.
We're not the jerky boys. No. we'll do some radio plays, or reenact some old Andy Griffith shows.
Maybe we can actually read some of Land Squid.
Yeah. If you guys would like us to act out Land Squid, maybe we'll do that. Maybe it'll entice certain actors like Ken Berry to do the movie. Maybe some Vicki Lawrence.
You know who I really want?
Who?
I would like Patrick Swayze.
That would be Jesus. You know what? I was actually trying to get his brother, Peter Swayze. I don't know the guy's name, but he's like the deformed version of Patrick Swayze. I'd like to get that guy.
Wow.
You know what? We ought to do that. We ought to cast siblings of, let's get some Frank Stallone.
Oh, shit.
Let's get we could get Tom Cruise's cousin, who was Ethan Rome on Lost. We could get him. That'd be genius.
See, like you said, you get
Land Squid.
Clint Howard.
And the terror came ashore. Land Squid.
And I want my bodyguards. What's his
Chris
name?
Chris Makepeace.
Chris Makepeace too. I'd like to have Chris Makepeace and a reprise.
If Chris Makepeace is still alive, I would like him in the movie. I think he'd be genius.
And also the Baldwin from that one.
Right, Adam Baldwin.
Adam.
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay, excuse me, he's blind.
I don't think Adam Baldwin is blind, is he?
I don't know. Or I just gay. Saw him in a really bad remake of the Poseidon Adventure.
Hey, man, you got to pay the rent, you know what I'm saying? Now, hopefully, if you guys, like Ron, take initiative for us. He sent us a news story on voicemail, and we didn't even ask him to.
Send it of your local area.
Yeah,
something weird happening in your area.
Yeah, Vanessa may have some problems, and we'll need some more some more news stories or some DVD picks. Call 1-206-202-3491, and that would be very useful. Also, you can criticize us like Eugene about our Star Wars hate, even though there is no hate. It's just love, baby. It's all Star Wars love. I don't know about you, Steven.
Thanks, R2.
Also, send us a nice email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. I say nice, but it can be mean, too. God knows that Eugene sends us enough of them. And anyway, here's a clip of Eugene.
Everyone idolizes me. I'm the best.
Oh, wait. That's the wrong... Oh, no, wait. That is him, isn't it? Sorry about that, Eugene. Just having a little fun at your expense. I hope we don't lose listeners over the show. Steven, I'm going to tell you right now that we have a lot of exciting things in the works for Nowhere in Mulberry this summer. It's going to be incredible. In fact, next week is our season finale of Nowhere in Mulberry, and the week after that, we're going to have our season premiere. So it might end on a cliffhanger. You never know. Get ready, everybody. Also, I want to tease...
This should have been our cliffhanger. Bill's being chased by the black helicopter.
Hey, we'll have more of that next week. Also, Vanessa, she's got some kind of problems. I don't know. But I want to tease this. Bill and I will be doing a wrap-up, a Sopranos episode, where we'll talk about the final four episodes of The Sopranos. So for anyone, for the 20 people that downloaded that... Hey, we got another one for you.
Hey, get ready for Entourage, you HBO people.
Entourage, Deadwood. Bravo has been doing a new thing. Well, actually, it's not a new thing. Bravo's been doing a thing called Brilliant But Canceled. They used to do on their Trio channel, which is they show the run of shows that never got a break. And one of those shows is called The Jake Effect with Jason Bateman, and it also has... Greg Grunberg from Alias. He also played the pilot in The Pilot of Lost. And it's a pretty funny show. It's also got Nikki Cox, who big Nikki Cox fan. She's great.
Yes. And, I was just thinking of her in Run, Ronnie, Run.
Yes. And keep a lookout for that, because Bravo rerun everything a million times. And that there's only six episodes, but it's pretty funny. So check that out. They're going to show the Brilliant But Canceled series called Touching Evil. That's a great show called Touching Evil. And it didn't have a long run, but it's a great show. Check it out. You will wonder why they canceled these shows, because they're really good. So I'm going to give a shout-out to Bravo for doing that, because those are some great shows. Anything you want to give a shout-out to, Steven?
Yeah, Vegas. I'm going to Vegas. Shout-out to Vegas.
What are you going to Vegas for?
A little work.
Little work?
Little work, little play. Be back next
what
week.
What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know.
Jesus, Steven, stop! No! Jesus! Steven, bugs! Bugs!
Let's get him up! Take that!
And the bugs are gone. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on Nowhere in Mulberry. See you next week.
He's gay.
Now this is podcasting.